kind of passion reading that we just heard is kind of an introduction or preview into what the rest of this week will be about as we walk through this Holy Week. As we progress to the Holy Week, we will continue to walk through these events that have just been described in our passion reading, ultimately leading us to next Sunday, celebrating the resurrection. But what I'd like to do this morning is share a few thoughts, not so much on that passion reading, but on that gospel reading that we read outside the blessing of Palm, that section from Mark's gospel about Palm Sunday. About Palm Sunday. Let's share a few thoughts about that. Have you ever had an experience where, as you are experiencing that event or that moment, the significance of it doesn't start? Maybe only weeks or maybe years later that you look back at that moment, at that experience, and there's a whole other meaning to it. Perhaps you can think about maybe the time that you met a really dear friend of yours, or maybe when you met your husband or wife, it may have been just a very casual introduction or a casual moment when you met, and at the time it didn't seem that significant or that meaningful. But years later, you look back at that moment, and it takes on almost incredible significance. It takes almost a specialness to it. Sometimes you begin to surround that event or that experience with poetry to describe it. So powerful is it as we look back at it. But the reality is, at the moment, it may not have seemed that significant. Maybe at work, you're approached by someone who says to you, we'd like to give you a new project, we'd like to invite you to a new responsibility. And you say, why? And they say, well, a couple of years ago, I heard you doing such and such, and it so struck me that I think this is the perfect thing for you. You sit there saying, I'm not even sure I remember that event that the person's referring to. And at the time, it didn't seem that important, but somehow, it takes on new meaning for you, new possibilities for you, as you look back at it. I can suggest to you that, in many ways, that is what Palm Sunday is. I'm not so sure that on what we refer to as Palm Sunday, this event, that the fullness of the significance of it is really understood. Many scripture scholars say we have an image of Palm Sunday, but it may not really be consistent with what the scriptures are actually telling us. Many of us may have a scene of Palm Sunday from maybe some movies that we saw or stories that we've told. We may have this image of Palm Sunday being this day that Jesus rides triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem and all of Jerusalem stops what it's doing. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to herald his coming into Jerusalem. That may be a very common image that we have. But it's not particularly consistent with what the scriptures actually tell. When we look at the story, what we see is something a little bit different. It was the week of Passover. And in Jerusalem, many of the Jews in the area would go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Jerusalem was this holy city. There was no place holier than Jerusalem. And so the city would be overrun with people coming in to celebrate the great feast of Passover. And so some of the people came, but actually the Romans had to increase security in Jerusalem. They had to increase the protection to provide people in Jerusalem. Because one of the things that happened was Passover was a religious feast, which was a remembering of being freed from slavery in Egypt. And yet as they gathered for Passover, many of the Jewish people realized that was celebrating freedom from oppression, but were still living under this Roman rule. And it created frustration, and sometimes violence, and sometimes riots during Passover week. It may sound like a contradiction in terms, but this holy week, this holy time for Jewish people, became a time of, in some way, riots and violence. So security was pumped up during that time in Jerusalem. So a lot of energy going on in Jerusalem. And Jesus, it's believed, was going to Jerusalem with his followers, with his disciples, to celebrate Passover. And he entered the city of Jerusalem by entering through one of the gates. Jerusalem was a walled city. And there were gates through the walls. And Jesus entered in through one of those gates. You might compare it to a rock in the double. Not the bow line of the wall, but sometimes you can see one. But you come into Newburgh, Saunders Street, there's lots of ways to get off the belt line and come office. Or to use my New York example, if you're coming into Manhattan, someone says, I went to Manhattan the other day.
Well, how did you go? The Tricolor Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, the George Washington Bridge, the
Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel. There's different ways to get to where you go. So the idea that all of Jerusalem stopped as Jesus went through this one gate might be a little bit of an exaggeration of the event. But I do believe that Jesus entered Jerusalem and celebrated Passover with his followers and his disciples. And it was a celebration for them. It was a special time for them. Because Jesus was ultimately heading to Jerusalem. He'd been there. And now he's heading for a particular part of his ministry. And I would suggest that the fullness of that entry into Jerusalem, the ultimate significance of that entry into Jerusalem, perhaps really wasn't understood fully until many years later. So after the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, people began to look back at that moment of Jesus walking into Jerusalem and realize the significance of that. Perhaps we sitting here today have more of an appreciation of the significance of that event than perhaps those people who were with Jesus actually walking into Jerusalem. Because we look back at that moment and realize what Jesus was doing. He was entering into Jerusalem. He was entering in and confronting and challenging, I would suggest, the power of his time. Jesus was in many ways a figure who was bringing about the kingdom of God. He believed that kingdom was coming. And that was his message. And so his entry into Jerusalem is really in many ways to challenge the power of the government of his time and to challenge the religious power of his time. The reading, the gospel reading that we read outside, talks about Jesus entering into Jerusalem and the celebration of that by his followers. And then the gospel reading ends by, and he looked in the temple. Reading, he looks in the temple, and he goes back to Bethany. I mean, he walks in, he walks right out of it. He goes back to Bethany, where he's probably staying the night before. And the rest of that, if we continue after this section of the gospel, Mark's gospel, the next part is the next day. Jesus goes back to Jerusalem, into the temple, and confronts the religious institution of his time. It's that reading we may be familiar with, where Jesus is oftentimes described to overturn the tables and challenges the temple. My house will become a house of sin, and he just challenges everything that's there. And in many ways, he's challenging the power, both religious and civil, leading to the end of his week. His message of the kingdom of God comes. This message of being preached to the hillsides around Jerusalem, in Galilee, in Bethany, all around. The message is preached, he finally goes into Jerusalem, the center of his religious tradition and government tradition, challenges, and he calls it forth. 2,000 years later, we look back at those moments, and those are the moments that we will spend this week reflecting on and thinking about. And I propose to you today that the event of Palm Sunday may not be as dramatic as we may have it in our minds in terms of a Hollywood star, but the significance of Palm Sunday, the significance of Palm Sunday, has tremendous significance. But it's ultimately Jesus confronting his world to bring about the kingdom, to bring about a different world. And we too are invited and challenged to bring that about. In the midst of our day-to-day lives, the events that we walk through, the events that we live through, that may not seem that great or that eventful, but as we look back sometimes in our lives, we see the power. We may be living our lives in the midst of challenge and overwhelming things in our lives, but perhaps as we look back, we can see what God is doing in our lives. Hard sometimes to see that in the present. But later on, we see the significance. The journey we walk together is a day-to-day journey. We may not see a whole lot of significant events. We may not see that dramatic. But it is the day-to-day walking we do together that God enters our lives and calls us forth to challenge our world, bring about his kingdom, bring about this love that Jesus is calling forth in our world. And so during this Feast of Palm Sunday, I invite you to continue to gather with us throughout this week. And make it easy. We're here every night at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we'll have a simple celebration of the Eucharist, very quiet, probably about a half hour, 30 minutes long, for those of you who have time and patience. Thursday, we'll gather together at 7 o'clock. And remember that meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples, that meal that he was going to Jerusalem to celebrate. And in especially with that meal, leading us to the Eucharist, calling us to be a people of service. And at the service on Monday, we'll celebrate that. We'll also have the washing of the feet at that Monday, Thursday service. And I just want to reiterate this, because it's not me that you come to that service, you have to have your foot washed. For people who can't say, oh, I don't want to come to that service, I don't want to get my foot washed. Well, you know, it's a liturgical thing. Those who wish to come forward to have their foot washed. It's a very special service, Monday, Thursday night. Then on Friday, we'll gather together at noon time for stations of the cross with the children. And then Friday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll have the Good Friday liturgy, where once again we'll hear the Passion reading from John's Gospel, John's version of this Passion reading. And then on Saturday, we gather at 8 o'clock. It's the only difference. 8 o'clock, Saturday evening, celebrate the Easter Vigil. Begin outside in darkness. We started this Palm Sunday service. Start outside in darkness and bring the light of the resurrection into a darkened church. As the liturgy progresses, that light progresses as well. So invite you to come to that. If you've never been to an Easter Vigil, try it on. It's a very special service. And then we'll gather together on Easter Day, 7:39 to 11:15, to celebrate this new life that Jesus offers us and calls us to go forward into the world to bring about, to confront our world and our time, and to bring about the wonder that Jesus has.